Good morning, Christian Church in the Wildwood. We are talking about being on mission, and what I just saw was Midge leading worship, and was he on mission or what? Wow. Thanks, Midge. Bless you. Love you. That's what we're talking about, being on mission, guys. We're actually been talking about Matthew 28, 18 through 20, but I want to do first is I want to put Matthew 28 and 16, 20 up there to start with. Before I go there, though, I want to tell you who I am. I'm Phil Merrill. I'm one of the elders here at Christian Church in the Wildwood. We want to welcome everybody that's online and over in Building B. We're glad you're here today. I'm finishing up my Bible college studies, and we'll be graduating here next semester, and so I'm excited to see what God's going to do there. And this is my third time preaching here. A lot of you are probably saying, I hope the third time is the charm. That's for sure. The other interesting thing I find is the three times I've preached, the first one was on marriage, tough subject. Second one was calling y'all to serve. And this third one is baptism. So I think it's kind of funny Joe leaves and then I get to preach these sermons. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but I'm glad I get the chance to do it and I'm excited to be part of it. We're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 2, but first I want to go to this Matthew 16 through 20, and I want to talk about it. Our verse is the 18 through 20, where therefore God says to go, but I want to explain what's going on here. Before this verse, Jesus has risen from the grave. Mary has told the disciples that Jesus wants to meet them in Galilee. And obviously, there was a mountain that they were used to meeting on, because here's what the word says. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And now we go to our on mission verse. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything, to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So fast forward, Jesus ascends. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. Jews from all over are coming to celebrate this spring harvest holiday. Our disciples are held up waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They're participating in this festival. And we start off in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Here comes the promised Holy Spirit. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want you to pay attention, though, to where the tongues of fire rested. They rested on the disciples of Jesus. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, the disciples. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language spoken. Their own language, where they were from, their own dialect. It was amazing. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? They were amazed and bewildered because these were common men. They weren't educated. They wouldn't have learned a foreign language. These are commoners. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? They were surprised. They were shocked. They couldn't. What is going on here? What is happening right now? This is amazing. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So here are the disciples at the day of Pentecost doing an amazing wonder. The Holy Spirit's come. They can't figure out what's going on. Some of them are just amazed. Other ones think these guys are drunk. Now remember, Jesus has been discipling these disciples. He's been sowing life into them for the last 3 years. Peter, he's been all over the place, right? But now Peter, the one that has been discipled, is becoming a discipler. Peter stands up. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And these men would understand who the prophet Joel was. They were well familiar. But remember, Peter is now becoming a discipler. He is going to start teaching. And that's what Peter does here. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter is on mission. He is discipling, he is teaching, he is explaining to these people what is going on. So Peter keeps teaching. It says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He's saying, hey guys, you saw it. You saw Jesus heal. You saw Jesus give the blind sight. You saw Jesus raise someone from the dead. You all saw it. You were here. Then Peter, teaching, says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, the Romans and the Jewish leaders, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for the death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, he's about to start doing some more teaching here, quoting some more scripture. David, King David, we're talking about here. They all knew King David. He's quoting King David. He says, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Man, Peter has come a long way. And Peter keeps teaching. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died, was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. King David wasn't talking about him. He was talking about Jesus. King David is in his tomb, buried here to this day. Where was King David buried? A lot of historians think King David was buried right underneath this house they were meeting at on the day of Pentecost. Can't prove it. We know, regardless, it was very close, that King David's tomb was very close. He continued in verse 30, but he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Who is one of King David's descendants? That's right, Jesus. And we know Jesus is on the right hand of Father. He's on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not descend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Peter's on mission. He's still teaching. He's explaining the scriptures. He's explaining what has happened in the past and what's going on now. That this is a fulfillment of all the prophecies that were already given. He says in verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Hallelujah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They got it. They believed. They're confessing. We get it. We did this. What do we do now? And what does Peter do? What does Peter say? He mirrors something. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, 9 days ago, Jesus ascended. This isn't like this was months ago that Jesus said this or years ago that Jesus said this. Peter just heard this. The disciples just heard this. This is fresh in their minds. So after these men have said, what do we do? What do we do next? We understand this. You have made it clear to us who Jesus was. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all who the Lord our God will call. Peter just mirrored what Jesus told him to do. The disciple is becoming a discipler. Jesus was and is on mission. He made disciples, and his disciples are repeating what he told them to do. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords discipled the Apostle Peter, and Peter listened and relayed to these people exactly what Jesus told him to do. Exactly. They go on in verse 42. Talks about what happened after that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They'd sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily of those who were being saved. What a beautiful and perfect design of the church. Beautiful. Everybody's sharing, everybody's coming together. It's how God designed the church to be. So how do we go from this beautiful, perfect design that Jesus Christ himself said, do it this way? How on the earth do we have 30,000 Christian denominations in this world today? How is that possible? Well, there was another beautiful and perfect design. And it happened back in Genesis. It's called the Garden of Eden. And Adam did kind of what we do. Adam said, you know, I know God said to not eat from the tree of knowledge, but you know what? Could it really hurt anything? What if I just took a bite or just did it this way? Is that, you know, what's the big deal? And the same thing has happened to this beautiful and perfect design that Jesus designed. We come up with things like, yeah, do we really need this baptism thing? I mean, come on. Can't we just pray Jesus into our hearts and everything's going to be good? Can't we just do it that way? Or I don't know. Maybe, you know, the apostles, they were speaking in tongues. Maybe that means I'm saved. Maybe I'll change some things around and I'll just go ahead and If I speak in tongues, that's good enough. That means I have the Holy Spirit and I'm good. Or maybe, you know, do I have to really do this meeting all the time? Can I just stay at home and listen to the Bible online or on the TV? Or why do I got to do it God's way? Why do I got to do it this way? Come on. I mean, things have changed. I don't have to do it this way. I want to draw your attention again back to Matthew 28. I want you to hear this loud and clear. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not to Phil Merrill. Not to different denominations. All authority has been given to him. That's why we do it the way he wants us to do it. It's his church. He said, this is how we do it. And that's how we need to do it. I was going to get into a bunch of church history with you and kind of explain to you different things. And the more I thought about it, the more I looked at it, you know what? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we got here. It matters where we go from here. Are we going to do it God's way? A friend of mine told me a corny joke when we were talking about like how we got to this place. He says, you know, you can prove that you can get the Bible to say anything you want it to say. If you change the context a little bit, you change things around, you can literally get the Bible to say anything you want it to say. He said, you know, there was automobiles in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, there were Hondas. So where'd you get that from? He goes, well, they were all in one accord, weren't they? Corny joke, but true. Look how we can change something to get things to say how we want them to say. If we take the Bible out of context, we can get it to say whatever we want it to say. I don't know about you, but we should learn from the Garden of Eden. And we should learn from this. We have 30,000 denominations, and that should not be. There should be one denomination, God's church, the way he designed it. Peter was on mission. What a changed man Peter was. He went from rejecting Jesus. He went from running away, from sinking in the water. He went from that to preaching the gospel on mission and telling everybody just what Jesus told him to do. Isn't that what we want from a disciple? Amen. The men are going to go ahead and bring forth the emblems. If you don't have one, if you just raise your hand and let them know, they will pass one out to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're sorry for just doing it our way so many times, Lord. We want to do it your way, Lord. You sent your son to die for us, and we want to live for him, Lord. And we want to be disciples. We want to be on mission, God. We want you to use us, Father. We just pray for forgive us for our bad thoughts and our bad ways of doing things and trying to do things our own way, Lord. We pray we can do the things your way, Jesus, and we can bring you honor and glory in everything we do and everything we say, Lord. As we go out through it this week, Lord, help us to be on mission, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody in here that has not done it your way, Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to move today and touch that person to come forth today or to come talk to one of the elders later, Lord, just or one of the ministers, Lord, just... We pray for your Holy Spirit to work. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We surrender to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.